We're not professional people. We just want to do something at this season of the year that hopefully brings glory to God and exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is obviously worthy of all glory and praise. So without further hesitation, we thank you for coming out tonight. Hope you enjoy the presentation of the greatest story ever told.
So noisy. What?
Good morning or afternoon, kind sir and madam. It is a pleasure to meet you. My name is Elizabeth Patrice Walker. I am selling Christmas goodies as a fundraiser for my school. All proceeds from these sales go directly to my school. Don't worry, not a scam. Might I interest you in some festive goodies?
No.
Perhaps you might be interested in some culinary delights? We have homemade gingerbread houses.
No.
Tasty peanut butter fudge. Or at least I think that's what it was.
That's repulsive. Get that away from me.
I think I left it in the sun too long. Don't worry. My grandmother will still buy it. Perhaps you might enjoy these beautiful seasonal cards decorated with nativity scenes.
No, no, no. I don't want any of that junk.
I would hardly call this quality merchandise junk. Would you be interested in that toy electronic Rudolph nose? It blinks.
Did you not see the large no soliciting sign in the front of the neighborhood?
Oh, yes, sir. Unfortunately, I have no idea what that means. But I will definitely keep an eye out for any suspicious characters.
Young lady, panhandling is a misdemeanor, or at least it should be. So if you will kindly take all this junk off of my porch immediately, I may decide not to call the police.
Well, a simple no thank you would have sufficed. I'm sorry I was being too persistent, sir. My teachers tell me it's both endearing and trying.
Yeah, well, I can definitely see that. Norma, I need a pill. This child is upsetting me.
Who's Norma?
She's my caretaker, if it's any of your business. Norma!
I'm very sorry I have bothered you. Here, take this candy cane. On the house.
Young lady, I don't want any Christmas junk from you. Did you not happen to notice that my house is the only house on the entire block that doesn't have any Christmas decorations?
Well, I thought maybe you hadn't gotten around to putting...
Well, you thought wrong. I don't celebrate Christmas. Christmas is a holiday for superstitious and simple-minded people. The only thing worse than Christmas is Easter.
Oh, I love Easter!
Shocking! What a poor excuse for parenting. What kind of school has children peddle Christmas goods as a fundraiser anyway?
My school does, Shady Mountain Christian School. It's a great school.
Ah, I see. That explains everything. You've been brainwashed, you poor child.
Dr. Fitz, didn't you want your pill?
Listen to me, kid. You ignore anything they tell you at that school. You're being taught something but nothing but lies and foolishness.
Dr. Fitz!
Coming, Norma! Now remember what I said. You ignore anything you hear from that school, especially anything about Christmas or Jesus.
Thank you. Go tell, go tell it over the hills. Go tell, Jesus Christ is born. Good Christian, hear the carols they sing on Christmas Day. Oh, let them stir a fervor and kindle up a flame. Remember how the Savior was born to die that night, and how He told the faithful, go spread the gospel light. Go tell, go tell it. Go tell, go tell it. Go shout, go share, go spread and sing that Jesus Christ is King.
Down in the lowly manger, the humble Christ was
born.
And born to the salvation
that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it, go shout, go share, go spread and sing that Jesus Christ is King. Go tell it, go shout, go share, go spread and sing that Jesus Christ is King. Go tell it. Go tell it, go shout, go share, go spread, and sing that Jesus Christ is King. Go tell it, go tell it, go shout, go share, go spread, and sing that Jesus Christ is King. Go shout, go share, go spread, and sing. Jesus Christ is
What is it now?
Hi, I'm Charity Walker. I live just down the street at 201.
Yes, I know who you are. You're the one who left cookies on my porch when you moved in.
Oh, yes, I guess I did.
I'm diabetic, so I would appreciate it if you didn't leave poisonous things on my doorstep. Also, that junk mail about the summer cookout and the fall festival at some church. That belongs in the trash bin, not on my doorstep.
I'm sorry about the cookies. I had no idea.
Well, so you didn't. Well, what do you want now?
My daughter, Lizzie, came by a few minutes ago selling Christmas stuff for...
Yes, I vividly remember. What of it?
Well, she seems to think that you told her not to listen to anything her teachers say at school. I was sure she must have been mistaken, but she seemed very confused.
I most certainly did tell her to ignore any brainwashing drivel spoon-fed to her at that poor excuse for a school. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Well, sir, I must say I'm shocked. I thought for sure Lizzie had misunderstood what you were saying. I mean, I understand you may not agree with our beliefs, but I would appreciate it if you wouldn't tell my little girl not to listen at school.
Well, I would appreciate it if you didn't let your little girl trespass on my property, panhandle worthless junk like some vagabond on my front porch.
I tried telling it wasn't junk, Mom. I even showed him the necktie.
Nah. Norma, I need another pill. This child is back.
Look, Mr.
Fitz. It's Dr. Fitz.
Dr. Fitz, I'm sorry for bothering you. We will make sure not to bother you in the future with anything.
Good. I'm an old man, I'm sick, and who isn't going to live much longer? Let me just live in what time I have left.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Dr. Fitz. I'll be praying for you. Please let me know if there's anything I can do.
Yes. There is definitely something you can do. don't pray for me. And take that child out of that crazy school. She's a bright one and has a lot of potential.
See, Mom, I told you he kind of likes me. He just looks like a mean old man on the outside.
I didn't spend 40 years educating students in molecular biology to stand silently by while children are taught superstition.
Well, I don't think I can do either of those things, Dr. Fitz. I'm going to pray that God brings true peace to your soul, peace that only comes through the gospel.
I'm going to pray too, Mr. Dr. Fitz.
Norma, bring me two pills. Norma!
Mr. Dr. Fitz, do you want to come to my Christmas place?
Oh, no, Lizzie, he doesn't want to.
I'm going to be the star of the play, at the top of the manger, and I'm going to sing a beautiful song about Jesus.
Norma!
I'm coming, Dr. Fitz.
What took you so long? I may keel over any minute, and no one seems to care.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Fitz, but I've been on the phone with my brother-in-law, and my sister's going to have her baby any moment.
Oh, congratulations. Oh,
I have to fly to Miami tonight.
What? Miami? What am I supposed to do?
Oh, I'm so sorry, Dr. Fitz. I can't call the agency and have someone else sent over as soon as they're available, but it is a holiday.
Well, that's just great. I'm most likely going to die any minute, and I'm not even going to have anyone here to give me my last few pills before I die.
Oh, Dr. Fitz, it isn't as bad as all that.
Mr. Fitz, I have an idea. My older sister, Sarah, is a nurse.
Well, she's in college studying to be a nurse.
She and I can come over and babysit you.
I don't need a babysitter. I just need someone to come and watch me die.
Oh, well, in that case, maybe just my sister will come.
Oh, what a great idea. Dr. Fitz really just needs supervision and someone to pop him a pill every now and then. I'm sure your daughter will be qualified. Let me just check it with the agency.
I don't know. I mean, is that okay with you, Dr. Fitz?
Please, 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 Dr. Fitz. I'll make you cookies. I'll even help you decorate.
Well, it doesn't seem I have much choice, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Fine, on one condition. No Christmas.
was. Get off my property! Lizzie, did you tell them to trespass on my property?
I thought you needed some Christmas spirit.
And what are you doing now?
Mommy said not to bring too many decorations over because she doesn't really think you want them. But I knew you would love them. Oh, Sarah, the tree looks beautiful. Don't you think so, Mr. Fitz? Mr. Fitz, do you have any grandchildren?
No, I don't.
Do you think I could adopt you as my grandfather? I never knew my grandparents, and I always wanted one.
I don't think that's exactly how that works. Wait, just a moment. What's that in your hand, young lady?
It's a shepherd.
I told you you could bring a few decorations over as long as none of them were religious.
But, Mr. Fitz, that's impossible. Jesus' birth is the whole point of Christmas. It wouldn't even be a holiday without it.
A deal's a deal. None of that nonsense in my house.
Oh, Mr. Fitz, don't be such a Scrooge. Or I guess in the Christmas story, you'd be Harry.
Who?
Oh, never mind.
Lizzie, why don't you sit down? You're looking a little flushed.
I'm okay, Sarah. I know you don't want Jesus in your house right now, but I sure hope one day you'll let him in your heart.
I don't even know what that means.
I know you don't, but you will.
Hear how his voice calls. is piercing through the night. Trust in Him, come to Him, the Messiah come to save.
Maggie, you wouldn't believe with this child. She's just as pushy and excitable as you were. Being around her makes me miss you so much. Oh, she talks about Jesus all the time. I knew you'd get a kick out of that. Maggie, I just feel so alone all the time.
Hey, Mr. Fitz, how are you feeling today? You look great.
Good afternoon, Misley. I'm feeling achy and miserable.
Well, I know how to fix that. I brought you Christmas music.
Sarah, you might as well bring me a pill now.
Who's Maggie?
What?
I heard you talking to Maggie, but I didn't see anybody.
Maggie is my wife. She passed away a little over a year ago. I occasionally talk to her without realizing it, I guess.
Oh, is that kind of like praying?
No, most certainly is not.
Oh, I wish I could have met her, Mr. Fitz. I know I would have liked her.
I think she would have liked you, too.
Did you say you needed a pill, Dr. Fitz? Oh, Lizzie, how are you feeling?
I'm great. Not achy or miserable.
Well, I just feel awful, and I need my pills, Sarah. But I guess you don't really care about me.
I'll get a pill for you right away, Dr. Fitz.
Lizzie, this shepherd, you left this here the other day.
Oh, that's where the lost shepherd went.
I've been trying to remember. What did the shepherds have to do with the baby Jesus anyways? Didn't they take the baby to a stable or something like that?
No. They didn't take the baby Jesus. They found him.
But why were they looking for him?
Because they had heard their whole life that the Messiah was coming, who was going to set his people free. And one night while they were sitting out in the fields, an angel appeared in the sky. He told the shepherds that the Messiah had been born that very night. Well, naturally, they got really scared at seeing a big angel floating in the sky. But then the angel invited them to come and see Jesus and worship him.
But if he was the great Messiah of the Jews, why would the angels bother telling random shepherds? Why wouldn't they tell important people? Or why didn't they tell everyone for that matter?
There were kings that come see Jesus too. But the shepherds got to see him first. My teacher said that's just the way God is. He isn't a respecter of any persons. And Jesus wasn't just for rich people or religious people. He came to die on the cross for everyone, and anyone who believes in him can have eternal life.
That's a nice story. Very inspirational.
It's not just a story, Mr. Fitz. It really happened.
I can tell you certainly believe it happened. How about you tell me the story? But this time, leave out all the parts that are make-believe, like the miracles and the angels and all that stuff.
I can see we still have a long way to go. You know, Mr. Fitz, even old people can become Christians. All you have to do is repent of your sins and accept Jesus as your personal Savior.
Your Jesus has plenty of old people without adding me to the list.
I'm sorry, Dr. Fitz. I can't find your pain medication. Do you remember where you put it last?
Of course not. I'm old. I lose everything. You're the young one. I'm sure you'll find it. But hurry up. I feel awful.
Mr. Fitz, won't you come to my Christmas play tonight at school? Won't you please?
Lizzie, you ask me this every day, and I give you the same answer.
Oh, but I know you'd like it. I'm going to be the star of the show.
Oh, are you playing Baby Jesus?
Oh, no, we're using a baby doll for Baby Jesus.
Lizzie is playing the actual star. You know, the Bethlehem star.
I get to stand on the top of the stable and sing the star song. Oh, wondrous night!
Well, that does sound entertaining. Sarah, did you find my pills yet?
Yes, sir. They're right here. Lizzie, what's wrong? Are you feeling tired?
I'm just sleepy, that's all.
For someone who is here to take care of me, you sure don't spend very much time doing it.
I'm sorry, Dr. Fitz.
I've been asking for my pills over and over again.
I'm sorry, Dr. Fitz. Here's your pill, but you know you're not the only person with problems.
No, but I'm just the one dying.
If you only knew the truth, you would feel...
Sarah, let's go. We have much to do for the concert. Goodbye, Mr. Fitz. I hope you feel better. I pray for you every night.
Bye, Dr. Fitz. I'll be in tomorrow morning.
Goodbye, girls. And good luck tonight, Lizzie.
I'll look for you in the audience. I'll be the one in the star costume.
A star costume? Who ever heard of such... What did she write in the CD? Christmas music. Should help answer your questions. I wonder what's on here.
Oh,
Excuse me. Have I found my way to the Lustrous Christmas program?
You sure have. Welcome to the Shady Mountain Christian School Christmas play.
Is everyone here always so perky?
It's just about to start. Is your grandchild in the play?
Not exactly, but kind of.
Well, hurry on in and get a seat. We're just about to start.
I actually need a seat near an exit, and preferably away from drafts. And I hope there's no strobe lighting. Excuse me, ma'am. Ma'am, excuse me.
Yes?
Hello. I came here tonight to see Lizzie in this play. I think she was supposed to be the star in the stable, but I don't see her anywhere.
Oh, I'm sorry to tell you this, but
Lizzie had another episode earlier this afternoon. She's in the hospital right now.
What? What kind of episode? What are you talking about?
Didn't you know? Lizzie is very ill.
What?
She isn't able to come to school very often, and although we wanted her to be in the play, she just wasn't able to make it.
No, that can't be right. It must be someone else.
I'm so sorry.
This is a big hospital. Ma'am, I'm here to see Lizzie Walker. Can you tell me what room she's in? I'm basically a relative. I must get through. Thank you. Oh, Lizzie, seems so strange to see you in a hospital bed. Dear God, I know I haven't really talked to you very much, or you haven't really heard from me very much. I guess what I mean is, if you could just listen to me this one time, I don't know what to say. I know I've spent much of my life denying you. It seems shameful to me to be coming to you now. But God, I feel so helpless. This little girl is such a wonderful little girl. It just seems so wrong that you should take her. Please, God, just spare her life. Please don't take her away from me and her mother. We need her. I'm sorry that I spent all these years fighting against you. I used to think you were harsh and uncaring and mean, and I wanted so much for you not to be real. But this little girl and her family have taught me that I was wrong. I know that you are the God of kings and shepherds. You love all people, even the most wretched sinners, even people who denied you and have fought against you. God, I believe in you, and I believe your son died for me, and I accept you as my Savior. I've heard the story of your birth and death, and I believe in you.
Sin grips the heart within, a curse on fallen men. This pride and selfishness we hold inside. Though we were all condemned, we had a loving friend who came to save us. He lived a perfect life and gave the blind their sight, fulfilled the things foretold by prophecy. He humbly took his cross and died to save the lost, their sins forgiven. The greatest story ever told is of this Jesus, how he came to earth to rescue sinful men, sent from the Father up above to sacrifice in love and take our place and give unending grace. This Son of God who gave his life and took the grave,
obeyed his Father's will despite the cost.
But death could not contain his power, his love, his grace, for he Father up above to sacrifice in love.
Please, Lord, hear my prayer. Please don't this little girl, don't let her die.
I'm not dying, Mr. Fitz. I was just taking a nap.
Oh, Lizzie, you're awake.
Careful, Mr. Fitz. The doctor stuck these wires in me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just so happy that you were all right.
Were you just praying, Mr. Fitz?
Well, yes, Lizzie, I was. After a long life of running from God, I think I finally wanted to accept him.
Mr. Fitz, that's the most wonderful news I think I've ever heard. Oh, Mommy, did you hear? Mr. Fitz trusted Christ.
Dr. Fitz, that's wonderful. Praise the Lord.
You know, I never told you this, but my wife was a believer.
Really?
Yes, she visited a church with friends of hers several years ago and came home announcing that she was a Christian. It made me mad. I was awful to her. I was awful about her faith. I just couldn't understand why she would believe in a God who made her so sick, and then he took her from me.
Well, I've struggled with the same thoughts the past few years since Lizzie got sick. But I always remember that God is good, no matter what I may think or feel. And his way is best, even if it's not the path I would have chosen myself.
I just wish I could tell Maggie that I finally trusted Christ as my Savior.
Don't worry, Mr. Fitz. She knows.
What do you mean?
Well, the angels have been celebrating in heaven for at least 5 minutes by now.
How do you know that?
The Bible says in Luke that there is joy in heaven over a sinner who repents. So when you repented and accepted Jesus as your Savior, the angels in heaven celebrated. I'm sure Maggie must have heard them. Just think of how loud the angel celebration must be. Mr. Fitz, are you crying?
I am just so happy.
Does that mean I can bring the rest of my Christmas decorations over?
You can bring anything that you want, especially those shepherds.
You know, you're kind of like one of those shepherds, Mr. Fitz, because you heard about Jesus at Christmas time.
And you found him at Christmas time.
And because I was one of the least deserving of people to see the Savior, yet he still sought me. I want you to tell me the story of Christmas one more time. Only this time, don't leave out anything.
Little town of Bethlehem, how fair we see thee lie.
choir. Thank you to those who sang. Thank you, readers. Outstanding presentation. I think the only thing that was missing from this was, "You're a mean one, Dr. Fitz." Thought for sure that was coming somewhere in the play, but it didn't get in there. The story of Christ is the greatest story ever told. Young people sang that song near the end there. That story began with His birth. It continued through His death, burial, and resurrection. It continues through His present ministry in heaven. And it will culminate in His coming back to this earth to rule and reign as King in the city of Jerusalem. You can blow it all off as poppycock, and you'll be wrong. How are you going to disprove a book that's been around for millenniums? It's not a science book, but it's scientifically accurate. It's not a medicinal book, but it's medicinally correct. It's God's book. And the story of Christ is found all through God's book. But I think probably the greatest verse, the most familiar verse in all of the Bible, is one that everybody has heard, probably knows in some cases by heart, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The story of Christ is the story, number one, of a person. Jesus Christ is a real person who lived in a real body on this real earth. Now, Christmas has a lot of things with it that aren't real, that we celebrate. Nothing wrong with that. But Jesus is not some fairy tale. He is not some, primary character in a fable. John said about Jesus, "which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled." The story of Christ is the story of a real person. God came to this earth in the form of a son named Jesus. The story of Christ, though, is also a story of passion. It's a story of great passion, deep passion, because the Word of God says, "For God so loved the world." And that little two-letter word, "so," sets apart the love that God had for the world. You know, if you ate something and said about it, "That was good," that means it was commonly good. But if you said, "That was so good," you meant that's special good. God's love for the world in sending Christ was not common love. God's love for the world in sending Christ was special love. He so loved the world. Very special because God sent the dearest one to His heart, His only Son. Would you give your child to save the life of somebody else? Would you give your child in death so that others could live? God did. He gave His Son. In doing that, He so loved the world. The story of Christ involves a person. The story of Christ is a story of passion. The story of Christ, number three, is a story of purpose. I like what John 3:16 says, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The purpose in this story is so that man could have everlasting life. You know, people, Jesus did a lot of good things on earth. He worked miracles. He helped people. He provided for people's physical needs. But that was not the purpose of His coming. His purpose for coming was Calvary. It was the cross. His purpose was to die. His purpose was to give His life. You remember the story on the day when Jesus died on Calvary. He hung between two thieves. You've seen the picture, the three crosses there on the hill. One of those thieves began to rail on Jesus Christ. And he said something like this, "If you are the Son of God, save thyself and us." What was he saying? He was saying, if you are who you say you are, get yourself off the cross and take us with you. Work a miracle. Do something supernatural if you're who you really say you are. There's one problem with that, people. Jesus did not come to save himself. He came to give himself. He came, as the banner says up there, to die. He came to give himself in death, even the death of the cross, so that you and I might live. Had he saved himself, there'd be no hope for us. But because he gave himself, you and I have hope. He would not stay on the cross. Excuse me, he would not come off the cross. He stayed on the cross. But he would not stay in the tomb. And that's because he is God. And he came out of that grave triumphant over death. And in doing so, through his death, burial, and resurrection, he made eternal life available for every person. The story of Christ is a story of a person. The story of Christ is a story of passion. The story of Christ is a story of purpose. And can I say, last of all tonight, that the story of Christ is a story of peace. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, the prophet in that wonderful verse said, his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. The ruler, the sovereign of peace. You know what this world is looking for, folks? Peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Nations are crying out for peace. They're at war with other nations. Individuals are crying out for peace. Families are crying out for peace. What's the answer? Jesus. You say that's too simplistic. It's real. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the sovereign, the ruler of peace. And when you trust in what he did through his death, burial, and resurrection as your only hope for salvation, you know what comes to your heart? Peace. That tranquility, that's right. I'm not promising you a rose-strewn pathway. I'm not promising you no problems in life. But I want to tell you something. It's a whole lot different to go through those problems with Jesus than it is to go through those problems without him. He is the Prince of Peace. Maybe there's somebody in the audience tonight and you may not have the personality of Dr. Fitz, but you've had the mentality of Dr. Fitz. All this talk about a man who comes through a virgin's womb, a baby, lives on the earth and goes and dies on a cross and sheds his blood, and rises from the grave. All of this talk, just a bunch of junk. Maybe tonight, as they were reading, as the choir and other groups were singing, maybe the Holy Spirit made his way by your pew. Tapped on your heart. And said, this is not poppycock. This is reality. This is truth. God's truth. And person after person after person after person in this audience could stand and give testimony of the day that they trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. A real person. A story of passion. A story of purpose. And a story of peace. What better time to make peace with God than Christmas? When we celebrate the earthly beginning of His story. Maybe you think things like this. At church, you're just kind of a waste of time. Nothing ever happens. Well, I beg to differ. Some years ago, a man made his way into the Christmas program, sat near the back there, and trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. That man's been with us ever since. He's got cancer now. It's eating away his body. but he knows where he's going. He's told a lot of his family members about Jesus because peace came to his heart when he trusted the Lord as his Savior. We're not going to make a big invitation tonight. I know maybe some people are here who are not usually in church, and it's like, whoa. But you know, right where you're sitting, you can receive the Prince of Peace as your personal Savior. You heard them use the term tonight, repent. That's just simply a word that means to turn from to. Something that begins in your heart, something begins in your thought process, something that begins in your will, and then is played out in your action as you turn from whatever you've been trusting in to get you to heaven, or maybe turn from your unbelief about it all to faith in Jesus Christ. Alone. Plus nothing, minus nothing. If I could urge you to do anything this Christmas season, it would not be to put a dollar in the Salvation Army bucket. If you do that, that's fine. If I could urge you to do anything, it would not be to enjoy Christmas Day with your family, although I hope you do. If I could urge you to do anything, one thing this Christmas season, if you're not saved, I would urge you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Is that why God arranged for you to be here tonight? So that you could hear one more time the message of Jesus Christ, the greatest story ever told. Maybe tonight is the night you trust Christ. You get saved. You find peace from the Prince of Peace. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you for listening as you do that. Maybe where you're sitting tonight, you say to yourself, you know, this is what I need. I've been foolish to reject Christ. I've been foolish to count it poppycock and nonsense. And tonight, the Spirit of God has convinced your heart that Jesus is indeed a real person. And you need to receive Him as your personal Savior. Right there in your pew where you sit, you can turn your heart to Christ. Through simple faith, believing what God said. Not stepping out on nothing, stepping out on the promises of His Word. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who are you trusting in tonight for your eternal salvation? What are you trusting in tonight? If it's anything other than the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, lay it aside and trust Christ and Christ alone tonight. And where you sit, a simple prayer of faith in your heart with words something like this, Dear God, I admit and confess that I am a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe He died on the cross, went to a tomb, rose again. And tonight is the time, the night, I want to trust Him as my personal Savior. Dear God, I receive Your Son and Him alone to save me and take me to heaven when I die. You say a simple prayer of faith like that in your heart, friend. The Bible says that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That's His promise. Trusting tonight. No one looking, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm the only one, far as I know, who's looking right now. I would like to rejoice with you. I'd like an opportunity just to praise the Lord tonight. If there's anybody in the service who prayed a prayer like that just now in your seat, and you trusted by faith, the best you know how, you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior with nobody looking, would you just simply put your hand in the air so I could see it and take it back down just a second, briefly, so I could see it. Anybody in the room tonight? I want to receive Christ as my Savior. Maybe I can't see your hand clear in the back. But if tonight's the night you trusted Christ as your Savior, you put your faith in Him, be sure and tell the person you came with. Tell me, tell one of the men here tonight. Let us rejoice with you in receiving the Prince of Peace. The greatest story ever told is the story of Christ and His salvation. Father in heaven, we rejoice tonight. Thank you for the privilege of once again putting on a presentation that emphasizes that eternal life, eternal salvation is through Jesus and Jesus alone. Thank you for your birth, Lord Jesus. Thank you for coming, but more so, thank you for going to that old rugged cross, for dying for us. Thank you for coming out of that tomb. Thank you for being alive today. Thank you for bringing peace to our troubled hearts. Thank you for saving our sin-sick soul. God, I trust tonight that if somebody here is without the Lord Jesus and leaves lost, that you will drive home the truth in this person's heart over the days to come. May they not rest until they turn to Christ and are saved. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to have this play. Bless the time of fellowship over in the other building, I pray. Thank you for those that have labored and cooked so that we could have something to eat. Thank you for the abundance we have. In Jesus' name, and amen.